On the way back from this adventure, Gilgamesh attracts the attention of Ishtar. And remember, I told you this goddess was often on the search for a new lover. Gilgamesh rejects her very rudely, and she is mortally offended, goes to Enlil, and receives permission to send the bull of heaven, this wild, rampaging bull, to harm Gilgamesh and Enkidu. Once again, the two heroes are able to kill the bull, but now they have killed a creature that belonged to the gods. And this, in combination with the violation of the cedar forest, draws the gods together in an assembly. And they decreed that one of the two, of course it's going to be Enkidu, the less important, must die as punishment for this sacrilege. The emotions expressed by Enkidu as he learns of his fate are extremely powerful and some of the most moving of the entire poem. Enkidu goes back to the beginning of his civilization, and he blames both the hunter and the prostitute for bringing him to the city, for introducing him to Gilgamesh, and for bringing him to this situation in his life. Had he stayed out on the steppe, he would still be happy, peaceful, living with the animals. Enkidu curses both of them and hopes that they lose everything, saying that because you diminished me, an innocent, yes, me, an innocent, you wronged me in my steppe. Shamash, the sun god, speaks to Enkidu in a dream, telling him that he should not curse the hunter and the prostitute because they brought him to Uruk, where he was able to have his friendship with Gilgamesh. Shamash further tells Enkidu that in a perfect resting place, he, Gilgamesh, will surely lay you down. He will have the people of Uruk shed bitter tears for you. And as for him, after your death, he will let his hair grow matted. He will put on a lion skin and roam the steppe. Enkidu accepts his fate, and he recants his curse on the hunter, although the prostitute does not escape his wrath. And soon after, Enkidu falls ill and dies after an illness that lasted about 12 days. Gilgamesh's grief at his friend's death was overwhelming. I mourn my friend Enkidu. O Enkidu, my friend, swift wild donkey, mountain onager, panther of the steppe, you who stood by me when we climbed the mountain, seized and slew the bull of heaven, felled Humbaba who dwelt in the forest of cedar. What now is this sleep that has seized you? Come back to me. You hear me not. As Shamash had predicted, grief does send Gilgamesh into the wilderness, where he becomes as uncivilized as Enkidu had been. His hair grows matted where it had once been long and curling. He wanders throughout the land. He wears lion skin. And all the while, he begins to fear his own death, which combines very closely with his grief for his friend Enkidu. Shall I not die too? Am I not like Enkidu? I have grown afraid of death, so I roam the steppe. Gilgamesh is unable to take up his duties as king. He cannot go back to the city, but instead, in his grief and in his worry about his own death, he can't rule effectively, and therefore he must go outside of the city. He has to travel even farther. Gilgamesh's purpose in traveling is both to escape his responsibilities and also to begin a heroic quest to find the secret of immortality. As he travels, Gilgamesh learns of a man, Utanapishtim, who survived a universal flood sent by the gods to destroy humans. He sets off to find this man so that he can learn how to become immortal.